Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org. Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Tonight between the Denver Nuggets and the Golden State Warriors, the Nuggets taking this thing back home inside Ball Arena. Can some Mile High Magic really help this team find a way to stay alive in the series? Joining us now to talk about it, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV, our Nuggets insider. Chris, no doubt about it, the last two games have been rough. There's been some moments where you thought, okay, this team can hang with Golden State, but usually those moments are followed by just a barrage of threes left and right. What do the Nuggets have to do? I'm guessing that all starts with the MVP, with Nikola Jokic tonight, who's had good numbers, Chris, but kind of been they've all been befuddled, I suppose, by what Draymond Green specifically is doing on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah. Nikola Jokic has been, well, I can't actually remember. I mean, he was a deep negative plus minus in these first two games, and I just can't remember that might have never happened in back-to-back games. And so, yeah, I mean, it's, I think for Nikola Jokic, it really begins with how do the Nuggets make him multi-dimensional again? I mean, I think Golden State has done a really nice job of making sure that he doesn't impact the game both scoring and, and playmaking and rebound, like all the things that made him the 2,000-1,500 guy. They don't want those to happen. And so what they've really done is they've made him score a bunch of points on a bunch of shots. And so how do the Nuggets get movement back around him so that it's not just a shot-making piece that is, obviously he's been doing that to a fine level, but also can he get, other plays made for his teammates? And so I think, for Jokic, it begins there and how the Nuggets get the movement back around him, because they're really starting to stand around him again. You know, we talked about this last season when the in the Phoenix Sun series, where it just got to a space where Jokic would catch the ball and then you just have the four guys looking at him. And I think I've seen instances now, especially in that second game, where we're getting back to that space, so the Nuggets got to get movement around him. And then I'll say this. They must come in with a confident attitude and a kind of a healthier mind state. They didn't have that in game two. And, can they bring that to the arena tonight? Because if they don't bring that, it won't matter what they do, X's and O's. They will be defeated before they walk into the arena.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Joining us now, Chris Dempsey from Altitude TV. It's just been strange. I think Coach Malone talked about Draymond Green and the way he's playing defense. He's like not necessarily guarding anybody, but also guarding everybody, it seems like. How do you begin? I suppose that's going to be the test for Coach Malone specifically is, what do you do when you have a free agent defender who's just rolling around and he is guarding Joker pretty well, obviously. What can you do to try to offset that matchup a little bit?
Well, and I think that's where the movement comes in, because, it's Draymond can only guard everybody if there's really nobody moving. In basketball, the teams that are the most dynamic, the teams that give defenses the most problems are the ones that have constant movement. All we need to do is look at the other team. Golden State embodies that almost every single possession, where there's so much happening, not on just on the strong side, but also on the weak side, occupying defenders' eyes and bodies, and then making you communicate and be organized all the time. They have never gotten that. They've gotten to that personality every single time. The Nuggets have not. And so when you are just basically standing in an area, now a guy can freelance a whole lot more, because he knows, well, my guy's just going to be right there at the three-point line. I can go here and there, and I can go help out over here and help out over there. And so I think, you know, with a guy like Draymond Green, who's just very smart, obviously, both offensively and defensively, you got to keep him in motion, keep him running, having to navigate screening action, keep him having to keep tabs on the guy he's actually supposed to be guarding, and really involve him in being an active defender rather than being this guy who can kind of do a little bit here, a little bit over there, a little bit over here, because your offense is most largely stagnant.
All right, you know, no doubt it's going to be, that's a battle. That's an interesting scheme. But why is it, Chris, to help me out here, man? And I get it. I know first quarters sometimes are completely different tales than what the rest of the game will, but it does seem like to me personally, watching the first two games, the Nuggets on their defensive side of the ball really dialed in, really moving well, getting hands in those faces of the shooters, even though sometimes those shots are still going in. It seems like in that second period, maybe mid-second period of maybe both games, you just kind of see that lack of focus on the defensive side of the ball. Am I wrong on that? If I'm right, what can the Nuggets do to really just keep that focus throughout the entire game?
Well, I think this is what makes Golden State the toughest. You know, and it's not that you can't have success against them. It's just that they keep coming at you for 48 straight minutes. And, you know, you will be tested in terms of your ability to continue to execute on the defensive end all the time. In transition, communicate the right way every single time. Get organized quickly. Get hands up all the time. And most teams can't do that. You know, I mean, they have shown you that over the years in terms of their championship years. And now they're getting a team that's championship caliber again here. And it's the same thing, and they know that this system works. And when they move like that, and when they can get Steph and Klay off the ball, I mean, not only are these two guys two of the greatest shooters ever, the two greatest shooters ever, but their off-ball movement is amazing. Obviously, on the ball, especially Steph Curry is fantastic as well. And it's a very, very difficult thing. It's why these teams haven't had very much success against the Golden State Warriors in their championship windows, because every mistake that you make is capitalized on. And for the Nuggets, they've made a lot after the first quarters. And, you know, you're right. They come dialed in and ready to go and all fired up. But can you continue to do that over the course of the game? If you can, you give yourself a chance to win in the fourth quarter. If you cannot, you're in real jeopardy of having to sustain a 14-0 run, a 26-4 run, a 10-0 run, you know, those kinds of things that can sometimes be just knockout blows. So I think for the Nuggets, the game plan is a good one. You know, it's can you execute that game plan for the majority, if not for the entire game? And it's easy coming out of my mouth. It's much harder to get that done, but the Nuggets have to start by putting the first quarter together and then the second quarter together and then going from there.
Yeah, no question about it. And it's as you said, it's a very tall task to try to dial in against this Golden State team, because they spread the floor out so well. They have so many shooters, and that's the hard, especially in this day and age in the NBA, that's the hardest team to go up against. Chris, we've been saying it like crazy, man. Who's going to help the Joker? You're around these players. You're around the coaches. Do you ever get a sense that some of the players are like, you know what, I'm sick of hearing it. You know, we know the Joker's the MVP, but we have to do something to change that narrative. Who's going to help the Joker? We got to change that. Do you sense any kind of that where Aaron Gordon, a Will Barton, a Bones Highland, they hear that and they're finally like, you know what, enough's enough. We have to change that narrative.
You know, not necessarily. I think they understand that, you know, Nikola Jokic is, he's the headline guy, and he should be. I mean, this is what he's doing for your basketball team on a nightly basis. And so I think for them, the frustration kind of comes in. I mean, it's probably not always easy to hear people go, Joker needs help. Joker needs help. You know, Joker needs help. And you're looking at yourselves, they're probably looking around like, yeah, well, we're not chopped liver. We're really right. Good basketball players. So I'm sure that doesn't feel good to hear that all the time coming from people. But at the same time, they all know how this works here with the Nuggets. And, you know, Nikola Jokic is the leader, but you guys can, the rest of the players can be very significant complementary pieces. You don't have to be, you know, super small pieces to the to the greater enterprise here. They are significant players and significant pieces. Aaron Gordon has a history of being a really good basketball player prior to becoming a Denver Nugget. Will Barton grew into a good player here. Monte Morris has grown in his career here. Bones Highland is beginning his career here, but we can already see what he's going to be. And so you're talking about players who have proven it and have put really good basketball on the court in some cases for many years. And so, you know, the frustration for them is, why aren't they doing it now? I think if they're looking in the mirror a little bit, you know, they know that they can bring a little bit more in terms of, you know, effort, especially after the first quarter. And then in terms of just sustained basketball IQ over the course of the entire game, running your stuff. Like Golden State hasn't necessarily had to try to really stop Denver's offense at its best. The Nuggets really do have one of the best offenses in the NBA. I mean, it's one of the most efficient, especially in two-point range. They shot the highest percentage of any team in the NBA during the regular season. We just haven't seen that offense. And I think if you're anybody else around Joker, the question you have to be asking yourself is, how do we get back to that and then sustain that over the course of the entire game? Because if they do, now you're putting pressure on a Golden State defense. Yeah, it's one of the top five defenses in the NBA, but they haven't had to show it. And so you got to make them show it. And so if they can do that tonight, then now get this game into the fourth quarter and see who has the better shot makers when that time comes.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, it's gonna take some help and some consistent help for the Joker if the Nuggets want to get this thing done tonight and make this a series again. Chris, talk to us about the Will Barton Boogie Cousins thing. That was obviously, you know, emotions run high in these games, and when things aren't going right, and you kind of feel like you're just absolutely getting worked, and you're searching for answers, you guys can get into it. So we've seen it before. It's nothing new. But is that anything to be too terribly concerned about at this point? Have they mended that fence, so to speak?
Yeah, I don't think it's anything to be real concerned about. I mean, that's just my personal opinion. And listening to players and Coach Malone talk about the situation yesterday, you know, they all kind of talked about, okay, you know, that's, as you just said, you know, frustration's kind of boiling over at a point. You know, maybe a player didn't exactly love the way something was said to him, you know, in that moment. And but what Michael Malone said was, by the time they got onto the plane, you know, everything was aired out. People were fine, and they had moved on from that space. And so I guess we'll just see, you know, to tonight if that is actually the case. But, you know, this team has, I think, over the course of an 82-game regular season, shown that it can overcome a lot of stuff, a lot of adversity. And I think in this one moment, it needs to just draw upon that again to be able to see them through this moment. They have talent enough to know, you know, we're talking about trying to get back into a series here. They're talented enough to do that, you know, especially when you get the games on your home court. But now it's up to you to be able to put whatever else aside for the greater good of winning a basketball game. And we'll just see tonight if they are, if the hatchet really has been buried, or if a lot of that stuff that we saw in game two starts cropping up again here in game three, then this series will be a short one.
Chris, when you look at this Warriors team, you know, obviously the emerge, and Jordan Poole's been great all year, but man, you always kind of see heroes really come to life on the national scale, like in the playoffs, and we're seeing Jordan Poole play so well that Golden State's like, you know what, Steph, you can be sixth man of the year from now on. I mean, like, that's a great thing to have if you're the Warriors, Steph coming off the bench. Where does this Warriors team rank up with the past Warriors teams? Obviously the one back in the George Karl playoff series where you were just kind of seeing this team emerge, and then you see, you know, Kevin Durant added in. Boy, this team, and I know it's hard to replace KD, but this team, based on what we've seen in two games against the Nuggets in the playoffs, they look absolutely terrifying, man. Where do they stack up in what you've seen with past Warriors teams?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely they're by far the best Warriors team we've seen since Kevin Durant left. You know,
yeah.
You know, they, it, you know, it's, and it's easy for us to forget now, but they went through a couple of seasons of no playoffs in Golden State. Like, that's prior to this, like, the Golden State Warriors were not in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
They were not in the playoffs the year before. Yeah. So when you talk about guys like Jordan Poole and Juan Toscano-Anderson and Gary Payton second and Kevon Looney, they had to take the better part of the last 2 years to get this new cast of characters up to speed, because the last time we saw them, it was Kevin Durant, and Andre Iguodala had a bigger role, and Sean Livingston was a big deal for them, and JaVale McGee was a player that was on. So they had a set cast of characters and players that had been there, that had been great, really, really high-level support players to Steph and Draymond and Clay, and they had to get that. Well, first of all, Clay went down, obviously, with the Achilles and the ACL, so he wasn't even in the equation. But simultaneously to that, all of those good support players were gone, and they had to get it figured out again around Steph and Clay and Draymond and Clay whenever he was going to come back, which is obviously this season. And so when you see a Jordan Poole, he didn't just appear out of the clear blue sky. That is a 2-year project,
yeah.
You know. To get him to where he is right now. Toscano-Anderson is the same thing. Gary Payton, maybe not exactly the same thing, but certainly a recent addition. Kevon Looney, a 2-year thing. You know, remember, they had they had some other guys in here that have been kind of filtered through as well. So I think, you know, and we said this at the beginning of the series, that this is the best team since their championship teams. And it is because, not because of Steph and Clay and Draymond, they're always great, but it's because they have finally gotten that equation around them in a great place, Jordan Poole being the leader of that pack. But they can mix in. I mean, I even mentioned Andrew Wiggins, and he was an all-star
right.
this year.
Yeah.
you know, and so, you know, it really does go to show you a couple of things. One, obviously you need to have the star players. But two, the players around those star players matter incredibly. And so, you know, that's where we are with this Golden State team. They look terrifying, as you said. They look cohesive. They look devastating again. They have young players that can score along the older players. And that's going to, you know, look, they get out of this series against the Nuggets, I wouldn't be surprised to see them, you know, in the NBA Finals. I mean, they're that good.
Well, especially when you see what's going on with Phoenix, with Devin Booker, who knows how long.
3 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's going to be an interesting debate for Phoenix, too. Like, that's typically what it is. Do you push him knowing that you have a chance to win a championship this year, or do you say, hey, we got to give him as long as it takes? It might have opened things up, and you're seeing, you know, Memphis tied up with Minnesota. It does feel like it's a little more open than usual. So, yeah, if you're Golden State, you're thinking, man, we take care of this. We might have it fairly easy here to get into the finals. Chris, last one for you, man. You know, just looking at the spread tonight, Nuggets are -2. That's kind of interesting. They were the first game, they were +6.5. Second game, they were +7. What does that tell you about tonight?
I don't even know.
That's what I'm asking you. I'm like, I don't. What does that mean?
Yeah, if I'm just being honest, I don't even know, because, you know, listen, the last time the Golden State Warriors were in Denver, they beat them. You know, I mean, in the regular season, you know, remember you had that pair of games that week where they were both in Denver, but Golden State didn't send their good players to the, but they did for the second game, and they won that second game. So, I mean, I don't know, and it's a Nuggets team that hasn't obviously performed as well at home as it has in the past. So, but home court gives you a little bit of a umph, and I think maybe obviously we're seeing that in the line. But and then I think maybe I would say this: if I'm looking at this just from a fan's point of view, there were some knockout punches, especially in the second and third quarters of each of those games. I don't think that there were multiple knockout punches. It's just that the Nuggets were not able to survive the one big one. And then all of a sudden things calm down and the teams play even. But okay, but at that time it's an 18-point lead. And if you play even from there, you're losing by 18 points. And so I think maybe there's a little bit of that happening. Can Golden State put a knockout blow on the Nuggets in Denver the same way that they were able to in San Francisco? And even if they do have a real prolonged run, can the Nuggets use home court and a little bit more of a tough-mindedness to get themselves back in a game in the way that you might not be able to when the crowd is on you and you're frustrated and they're shimmying and dancing and doing the gritty out there on the on the court. So I think maybe that all those things are being built into that line, but that line is surprising to me. I'm hopeful that the Nuggets, if they bring the right mindset, can pull this out and really make a series of it. You know, because if you win Game 3, boom, now it's a whole different thing. But you got to win that Game 3.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We know what happens if you lose Game 3, if you go down 3-0. Chris, my man, appreciate you. Let's see if they can do it. I want to keep stretching out these conversations where we're talking about meaningful basketball. I'm not ready for the offseason yet.
Yeah, me too, man. We'll cross our fingers here.
All right, my man. Chris Dempsey, Altitude TV. Love his insight there. Whew, let's hope they can get it done, man. We got the Hype House coming up in just a moment. More Nuggets Golden State coming up for you. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Live from the Allo Communications Studios. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Unwind with a good afternoon guy, Brian Gary, weekdays at 3 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody, this is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hole, on the whole show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. I'm Brady Hole. We got Jade's of Spades over there on the other side of the bulletproof glass. Nuggets Warriors going at it for Game 3, and this is it. I mean, if you don't win this game, the series is virtually over. Nobody's ever come back from being down 3-0, so it's not going to happen in this case. You're certainly not going to do it against Golden State. However, if you win tonight, You keep right on pace with the series. I mean, you win tonight, and then you got another home game with potential to tie that thing. So this game is a swing game. Obviously, I would say the air around the Nuggets right now is not good. And you got fights happening on the sidelines. You got Malone just looks absolutely perplexed. You got Joker getting two technicals and thrown out of a game. He's just frustrated with things, complaining, pissed off. I get it. You got guys that are supposed to, you know, Gordon should be able to get you 15, 16 points and, you know, 10 rebounds. You should be able to get those things, and you're just not getting them. You know, Will Barton's not, you know, 24 points a game in game one, I think 12 points in game two. There is a negativity surrounding the Nuggets, and again, the players, coaches won't, like, admit to that, but... And for the most part, I think the logical fans like to just point out, okay, well, yeah, but you don't have your weapons. You don't have Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray. Well, I want to point out something. And as much as I like to say, yeah, Jamal helped you so much last year in the regular season, he did. He grew into a pretty good player. But when the playoffs came around, he was bad. So, I mean, this idea that, well, if Porter was here. So that's why, you know, being critical of Malone... Those of you that are defending Malone, just quickly saying, well, yeah, but he doesn't have Porter and Murray. Well, let's keep in mind, Porter wasn't a factor in the playoffs last year. They stifled him. Jamal Murray, he is a good player. He was a great player in the bubble. He's a very good player. He would change things. Yes, he'd be another guy to have to guard. There is no necessary, but there, I look at it this way. It's like, there's no necessary guarantee that Jamal's going to come in and put up 20. Dude. Check out his average, Jades. Check out his career average. Check out his two-year average. I think he's still in the 20s. So, yeah, to have another player to average 20 would be great, but I should be able to get that from Aaron Gordon. I should be able to get that from a Bones Highland. I should be able to get those guys both close to 20 points. Now, offensively, they got to get it going. They have to figure it out. They have to be able to match what Golden State's doing. And if you can get Joker down low, get him going, maybe get Draymond Green to pick up an early foul or two, you could change the dynamic. Draymond Green is a nice glue for Golden State, both defensively and offensively. Him moving around inside the paint, kind of jumping around that triangle type movement that he'll do on the offensive side, it just keeps things moving. And that's what it's all about, is movement. That's why when with the Joker, the assist total is going down, because you're just not getting that movement. You're not getting those cuts. And that's also because Draymond Green is playing as a free agent on defense and not only guarding Nikola Jokic, but making sure he shuts down those pass lanes. So tonight's a very 8 o'clock game, late game. We're all going to be watching this thing together. Is this it? Can Denver do it? Can they find a way? What do they have to do? All right, 34 minutes after the hour. We got the Hype House coming up next, Nuggets fans. Let's get some texts in, whatever. Let me know what you think Denver has to do to be able to win this game tonight, to keep this series alive on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. 34 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KSKA.
Okay, I know this is a negative way to start the Hype House, but Denver's got to do something to stop the enemy, which consists of Jordan Poole. And please, can we not give back-to-back-to-back-to-back threes to Klay Thompson anymore?
Thompson, set by Curry. Deflection by Morris. And Porter able to get it back. Finds Klay Thompson.
And then, of course, the real Darth Vader, Steph Curry. But we're not going to worry about that anymore, all right? It's time to get it going tonight. Jays, it's game three. You lose tonight, you are done. It's over. 3-0. Great. The next game is just a for funsies game. Play Bones Highland the entire game. You want to be alive. You want to do something crazy here. You want to change the narrative. Shut the Nick Wrights the hell up. The guy's saying the real MVP is Joel Embiid and Steph Curry and all that stuff. You got a center in Nikola Jokic, the very, very best player in the NBA, who needs to prove something. He needs to shut Draymond Green's mouth. Kevon Looney's mouth. Steph Curry's dancing. Gary Payton Jr. slapping the Joker on the butt, man. What the hell are you doing? Joker looked at him like, oh no. Oh no. That ain't happening here. But the Joker can't do it alone. We've said it over and over and over again. You're gonna need guys to step up, maybe unlikely heroes, like a Bones Highland.
Highland, long three. Oh, goodness, hit the backboard. He called glass.
I don't care if he called glass or not. I could use three more of those. Let's go. When the Joker is on the bench, when he's sitting down trying to rest, trying to collect his thoughts, he's been abused all year. You gotta have the controversial child coming in, doing something like a Boogie Cousins.
Cousins going to the rack and lays it in with a left hand.
Can't have any of these little tiny shots that you just miss, man. Go up there. You're Boogie freaking Cousins. It's time to relive those Sacramento days, those Pelican days, when the mere sight of you scared the ever-loving hell out of opponents. Now you're nothing more than a caricature. Be more than that tonight. You are the backup to the Joker. You go out there and you put someone on their ass. You make them regret suiting up tonight. That's what you have to do. You got a guy who's 97 years old, still out there doing some things this season, but he's been relatively quiet, and that's my guy Jeff Green.
Here's Gordon now from sidestep. Jeff Green wide open. Hits a three.
The old man still got it. You gotta have guys like that be special. He can shoot the three. Give him the ball. Find him in open space. Sit there on the corner, but you gotta hit. You gotta hit. Another guy I'm looking at tonight. I know I haven't mentioned AG. I haven't mentioned Willie B. Because I've already done that crap. And it ain't working. I like the guy that has grown up with this organization. A guy that we've expected a lot from. And that's my guy who's disgusted after game two. That's Monte Morris.
Morris steps in the line. Cash money. Monte Morris.
He's got to be consistent. He's got to do something big for the Nuggets tonight. I know it's a weird combo, but I'm looking at those four guys tonight because you're at home. You're in Denver. Colorado is a beautiful place. Denver is a beautiful city for sports, man. I was just at the Rockies game yesterday. It's time to go absolutely nuts for this team. Get Nuggets fans in the stands. If you see a Warriors fan, show them the door. Maybe no violence, all right? But you got to be special. Boogie, Bones, Jeff, Monte, I want special, something special so that you can set up the two-time MVP. I believe, I could be wrong on this, Jades. Sources say Joker just cut his hair. Sources say Joker just cut his hair. You know what that means when he has a clean dome. Big things could be happening for Big Honey, for the Joker, for Nikola Jokic, the two-time MVP. Let's get out of here. We'll take a break. Whole show continues on the other side on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1. And 1310 KFKA live from the Allo Communications Studios. Who do you like in this one? Warriors, Nuggets, Denver's minus two. Who we taking in this game? I want your picks. I want your why. And I want to know who, if you think Denver's winning, who's stepping up for Nikola Jokic? We'll talk about it next.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Don't forget, we have the Rockies Rundown coming up with Jerry Schimmel and Tanner Schwent. Talk about, well, a series win against the Phillies, but a rough outing yesterday. Offense was there. The bats were there, but just couldn't get it done. You know, Marquez was fine for a moment and kind of struggled late in the fourth or fifth inning, I believe, maybe the sixth inning. Yeah, it was the sixth inning. Yes, you know, he didn't go quite six. This is when the naysayers are, and I'll be curious to get Tanner and Jerry's thoughts on this. I believe they're going to have Thomas Harding, who writes for MLB. I'll be curious to get their thoughts kind of about, you know, the concerns, the fans' concerns about the depth. And when it is a really long season, you know, again, the response for a long time is going to be, well, it's early, it's whatever. Same with whether they win, same whether they lose. But a long season does typically, you kind of start to see some cracks. And yesterday was what I was talking about. You know, I think they have a better team overall than they've had in a while. And this is going back to the Nolan Arenado days. Better overall team. But the problem is your outfield's probably an A. You know, your batters are certainly high caliber. But your pitching staff, your starting pitching staff, Marquez and Freeland, Marquez is good. Freeland still. I'm not going to say Freeland's like good yet. Is he good or is he average? He's average. Until he proves that he's good, I'm going to call him average. So that's it. You got a good pitcher, an average pitcher, and then everything else below that. And then your bullpen, you saw it completely falling apart in that seventh inning, I suppose. So that's the concern. Not everything else. So when I talk about depth, I'm not talking about everything else. I'm talking about the pitching staff, 100%. And it's all great in April, and this is why sometimes you can see Colorado survive in April so well, because pitching is hard in Colorado. It is. But when you don't have the proper amount of depth to withstand the long seasons, but ultimately to make up for being in Colorado, then you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle at some point. Now, I do expect an interesting test coming up for the Rocks, going on the road against Detroit and then seeing the Phillies again on the road for a four-game series. It's going to tell us a lot about the early story surrounding the Colorado Rockies. The road has been an issue for them. You know, last year was terrible. You don't want the wheels to kind of fall off here. And again, in April, you want to be good. This is when you're typically good. So be really good. Give yourself some breathing room in May. And as some of our listeners have pointed out, the June swoon. So, hey, I'll be curious. Rockies Rundown coming up at 2 o'clock. Jerry Schimmel, Tanner Schwint, bringing you all things Rockies from 2 to 3. We got the Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary coming up as well. I mean, it's going to be a... Well, no, we have Preps Baseball. We got Preps Baseball rock and roll. That's right. That's right. Man, I love it here. We get baseball all the time. Get Rockies. Rockies are off today. That's okay, because we have Preps coming up too. All right, Nuggets, Warriors, Game 3. I mean, this is what you call must win. We're there because nobody's ever come back from 3-0. You win, maybe you win Game 4, but it's like a consolation prize. It doesn't matter. You win tonight. And you change the narrative. You change the story around, okay, is Malone the right guy to do this? Is Joker really the MVP? Can anybody else but Joker score against Golden State? Can you slow down the barrage of shooting that Jordan Poole, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry are bringing, and Andrew Wiggins are bringing to the table every single night? But it's going to have to be special. You got to be dialed in defensively all the way through. And you got to withstand those runs. They're going to go on 5 or 6 scary, terrifying runs. Can you weather the storms? That's the big deal. When you go up 12, can you slow down? Can you hold on to a lead? All right, Nuggets are... Well, it's an interesting spread. It's a very interesting spread. Can the Nuggets get this W? What do you think, Hooligans? Nuggets or Warriors? Nuggets are +2. I had them losing the other day. I like Denver to win tonight and survive and make this thing interesting. Good night, Northern Colorado.